Josh Haston here, Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. It is Monday, the 15th of February, 2021, the 3rd of Adar, 5781, coming to you from just outside the walls of the Old City of Jerusalem on a beautiful Monday here in the State of Israel. Hope you are doing well. Hope you are safe in your part of the world. Get in touch with me during the week, Josh at thelandofisrael.com, on Facebook, Joshua Haston, or Josh Haston Israel Advocacy and Journalism, on Twitter at Josh Haston, and on Instagram as well. Bringing you all the latest news and views and my analysis from everything that's going on here in the Jewish state. I would say a very important story, which is making the rounds now. It's not a done deal at this point. But the Jerusalem Post today reports that the Keren Kayemet Lisrael, the Jewish National Fund, not to be confused, by the way, with JNF USA, that's a different entity. So the KKL JNF on Sunday approved a plan to purchase private Arab property in order to build in Judea and Samaria. Now, it's not a done deal at this point. There was a vote by the executive, which passed 6-5. But the KKL JNF still has to get this approved by its board. But this is an important decision in terms of the direction of the organization, saying publicly and openly, if it passes, that they are willing to buy, legally, of course, land from Arabs in what is known as Area C in Judea and Samaria. That is where all the Jewish communities are located, in order to expand, build more in those Jewish communities. So, by the way, I don't know if you're aware of this, but for an Arab who lives under the Palestinian Authority, it is risky business because it is illegal. It was the first law passed when this entity was put together. It is illegal for an Arab living under the PA to sell land to a Jew. Some are willing to take the chance, but it's very, very risky business. That being said, the KKL JNF, they actually have been supporting projects throughout Judea and Samaria, but now it's going to be more official. It's going to be open policy, if in fact it passes, that they are willing to develop communities in Judea and Samaria out in the open, publicly, put together plans, official plans, in order to do so. So we're going to have to wait a little bit. The board is going to decide on this after the March elections, according to this report in the Jerusalem Post. But of course, I believe this is extremely positive. More building in Judea and Samaria, more money allocated for building, expanding of Jewish communities in Judea and Samaria. I think this is a positive development, and we'll see how it plays out. There are a lot of forces, outside forces, putting pressure, and also forces within the organization, from what I understand, and putting pressure on them not to go down this route, not to help expand communities and nursery schools and whatnot in Judea and Samaria. But I hope that the board does the right thing and publicly says, for the record, we will help Jews build those who live in Judea. It only makes sense to me. So we'll have to keep you posted on the story after the elections. Turning over now to a report here in the Jewish press, Jen Psaki. I just learned how to pronounce her name, by the way, even though it's spelled P-S-A-K-I. Jen Psaki, the new White House press secretary, and you can go to social media and find this clip, squirmed and squiggled, says the Jewish press on Friday, to answer what appeared to be a relatively softball toss, but apparently to her, at least, turned out not to be. A reporter asked Jen Psaki, can you please give us just a broad sense of what the administration is trying to achieve in the Middle East? For example, does the Biden administration still consider the Saudis and the Israelis important allies? Now, that seems like a really easy question. Are the Saudis and the Israelis important allies? It seems like the answer to that question would be yes, or maybe perhaps no, depending on what the position is of the Biden administration. But the press secretary had a tough time with that question and gave, I'm not even going to read it here. She gave a lengthy, maybe a little bit, a lengthy response, a paragraph long response, but she didn't answer the question, are the Israelis and the Saudis important allies? She said there are ongoing processes and internal interagency processes, blah, 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 blah. She didn't answer the question. So that's a little bit worrying, and we already started talking about this last week in terms of where perhaps the Biden administration is heading when it comes to its policy vis-a-vis Israel. And I'll give you another example here. This is from yesterday's Jerusalem Post. The U.S. essentially comparing building nursery schools, building homes in Judea and Samaria with Hamas terrorism, putting them on the same playing field. So, to give you the background here, the U.S. has called on Israel to refrain from settlement, what they call settlement activity, and for the Palestinian Authority to halt payments to terrorists and their families. Now, if you didn't catch that nuance, it's in the same breath, holding with a refraining rather from building in Judea and Samaria and not paying terrorists. So building nursery schools, building kindergartens are as bad, in their opinion, as paying terrorists who are encouraged to sacrifice their lives as so-called martyrs for jihad. Ned Price, the U.S. State Department spokesperson, said, "We believe it is critical to refrain from unilateral steps that exacerbate tensions and then undercut efforts to advance a negotiated two-state solution." So here the U.S. going down the path already of a failed two-state solution, bringing back that failed policy. It's already happening here. What is it now? 3 weeks into the administration. Price clarified unilateral steps include annexation of territory, settlement activity, demolition, and in the same breath, in the same sentence, incitement to violence and provision of compensation for individuals in prison or for acts of terrorism. Okay, so putting the two together, building homes for Jews in Judea equals Hamas and the Palestinian Authority providing compensation for individuals in prison for acts of terrorism. He said, "We continue to emphasize it is critical to refrain from all of those activities." He actually made these statements in response to a question about the KKL, let's get that straight, KKL, JNF pending decision to purchase private Arab property to help build communities in Judea and Samaria. So it's unbelievable. This Israeli internal decision by a nonprofit organization making it into the State Department press briefing. People are obsessed, obsessed, obsessed with Israel, of course, but with what's going on in Judea and Samaria more than they are with Iran potentially going nuclear, terrorism throughout the world. Yemen, Syria, you take your pick. Those are not top stories. Those are not the main issues which make the newspapers from the press conferences at the Secretary, rather the U.S. State Department. It's about KKL, which has been purchasing land in Israel since night, I think it's 1901. What KKL JNF is doing, that makes it into a White House, or rather a State Department press briefing. It's unbelievable. The obsession, the double standard, the fascination. It's crazy. I mean, there are only what, how many millions of Jews in the world? How many million, what is it, 0.2% of the world, if not less? And I'm terrible with math, terrible with numbers, but that's all we are in the world. Yet the fascination is with the Jewish people and with the state of Israel and the land of Israel. It's unbelievable, for better or for worse, but just a fascination with what one organization is doing in terms of potentially buying, legally buying property in order to build kindergartens and nursery schools. And that's what they're worried about. That's what the State Department press conference is about. Crazy, crazy stuff. And speaking of the U.S. administration, another article here. This is Reuters with the J Post. The White House on Friday denied that U.S. President Biden was intentionally snubbing Prime Minister Netanyahu by failing to include him in an initial round of phone calls to foreign leaders since he took office on January 20th. So, to make a long story short, Biden has made calls to a number of foreign leaders, including those of China, Mexico, Britain, India, France, Germany, Japan, South Korea, and Russia. Hasn't called Israel, and a lot of people are getting a sense that this is a snub. There are people who are saying that Biden does not want to call Netanyahu because that could be turned into election endorsement fodder for the prime minister. Whatever the case may be, is this an intentional snub? They're denying it. They're denying it in the White House. But the fact of the matter is, just objectively taking a look at it, Biden has not called Netanyahu since they spoke, I believe, right after the election. But he has not made an official phone call, as he has done to the other world leaders, has not called the prime minister of the state of Israel. If I'm not mistaken, I think President Trump called Netanyahu on the second day of his administration. And we'll see what happens. We'll see what that implies, if anything. Okay? We can't really speculate on it. I mean, we can. We can speculate on it. But let's see. I mean, just everything in terms of two-state solution and questioning building in Judea and Samaria seems like we're going down the wrong path, folks. Seems like, you know, maybe it's not a surprise to many of you, but it seems like we're headed back down, whether it's Obama, the third Obama term, or the Clinton mindset, Oslo, two states, wanting to reopen the PLO, whether it's a consulate or embassy in Washington, refund UNRWA and all this other stuff, the UN Human Rights Council. It seems like we're heading down the wrong path there in Washington. And this is just the beginning, folks. This was terrible, terrible, terrible to see the Jewish press reports here. The altar, an ancient site in Samaria, Joshua's altar, destroyed by Palestinian Authority Arabs several days ago. Just horrible to see. Just another attempt by the Palestinian Authority to erase the history of the Jewish people. Here you have an ancient site. The Book of Joshua reports that the Israelite general built an altar on Mount Ebal, that's in the Shomron, after the nation had crossed the Jordan River into Eretz Yisrael in accordance with Moses' instructions. So there's a belief that this altar of Joshua existed till this day. It was destroyed by a work crew, a Palestinian Authority work crew, paving a new road. This is near the city of Shechem. Some say, or at least some in the Palestinian Authority claim, that this was by mistake. Many people think this was intentional, and I would not be surprised if this was intentional. I mean, I've seen on the Temple Mount, I've seen the destruction there of ancient Jewish relics on the Temple Mount. We know back in the year 2000, the illegal digging which took place on the Temple Mount, emptying thousands and thousands of tons of Jewish history, really, emptying all of that dirt without sifting through it, of course, emptying it all into the Kidron Valley. And still to this day, there's a project to go through that dirt and sift, and there are all types of archaeological finds. But the Palestinian Authority, whether it's them or the Waqf or whatever, trying to erase Jewish history. And here we have this case of the altar of Joshua ben Nun, destroyed. On Thursday afternoon, the Samaria Regional Council started to restore the ancient wall along with another group called, I think it's Aish Earthworks. This organization, this company rather, and oh, here it is, Shomrim Ala Netzach, Guardians of Eternity. So these groups, that group dedicated to preserving Jewish archaeology and history and heritage in Judea and Samaria, they're the ones who discovered what the PA was doing, carrying out heavy work at the site, and bunch of different groups getting together under the auspices here, it looks like, of the Samaria Regional Council to restore this site, which was destroyed, most likely deliberately, by the Palestinian Authority. And I say that because, and I'm sure there'll be an investigation, but because I've seen it time and time again, trying to wipe out or deny Jewish history, and in this case, trying to physically wipe out a 3,000-year-old Jewish historical site. Just very sad, very upsetting. And but what did we think when we signed the Oslo Accords back in the early 90s, turning over holy sites, our biblical heartland, parts of our biblical heartland, to the Palestinian Authority? What did we think would eventually happen? I mean, we saw what happened at Joseph's tomb in the year, what was it, 2002, when they destroyed, or maybe it was 2000, when they destroyed Joseph's tomb. I mean, it's been destroyed and desecrated time and time again by Arabs living under the Palestinian Authority and the PA themselves. What did we think? What were we thinking turning over our heartland to a terror organization committed to our destruction, the PLO or the PA, whatever you want to call them? What was on our minds? We wanted peace, right? Well, this is what we got, and we cannot go back down this path, this two-state path, this mentality. It cannot happen. So listen, this is a big election here coming up in Israel. I know it's our fourth in 2 years, but we got to put the right people in power who will stand their ground when it comes to any type of international pressure to make suicidal territorial concessions to the Palestinian Authority, which I've just proven time and time again have been absolute mistakes, whether it's anything other Oslo, whether it's Gush Katif, any of that. We cannot go down that path again. Turning here now to the coronavirus situation in Israel, Prime Minister Netanyahu on Sunday, reported here by Ynet News, said that any major lifting of restrictions can only take place when at least 5 million people have been vaccinated in Israel. So we're on our way. We're not there yet. I don't have the numbers in front of me this morning. I think it's over 3 million have, at least over 3 million have received their first vaccine, and another, I think maybe 1.5 million, 2 million have gotten their second vaccine. But Netanyahu telling the coronavirus cabinet, we can only start opening entirely. I mean, the airport here is still closed, folks. When we have 5 million people who are fully vaccinated, and we'll get there. We'll get there. The government last week began discussions on approval of the green pass or green passport outline that's supposed to see culture and trade industries reopen for Israelis who have been inoculated with both vaccine shots. We shall see what happens. A lot of fighting going on how soon we should open things. I know there's a whole mess with the school system right now. Some schools went back today. Some already went back a few days ago. It all depends on where your specific city is or community in terms of the traffic light, whether you're red or orange or yellow or green, depending on how many people are infected in your community. That's how they are making the decisions in terms of opening schools. And hopefully we can open businesses here soon as more and more people get the vaccine. There's a big worry here. The coronavirus czar, Professor Nachman Ash, told Israeli radio on Sunday morning that he's extremely worried. He's anxious about the upcoming holiday of Purim, which takes place starting next Thursday night, which usually involves mass gatherings of people for festive meals and for listening to the Purim Megillah. He's very, very worried about that, talking about a risk of a fourth wave or a fourth closure, perhaps. So people have to really be careful when it comes to the holiday of Purim. And it almost seems like we're getting ready for a holiday here in the Jewish world and here in Israel. I mean, we just had the coronavirus, people extremely worried about Hanukkah, and before that it was Sukkot. So now it's once again holiday season here with Purim, and then of course Passover coming up. But we'll have to see what happens if in fact Israel does go back to a lockdown for the holiday of Purim. We'll see. And again, on the other hand, a lot of people are getting vaccinated, so hopefully that will lead to positive results. JNS here reports that the Geneva-based independent human rights group called UN Watch published a detailed report in advance of the 46th session of the UN Human Rights Council. The council, of course, is a Total Joke, scheduled to open this month on February 22nd and run till March 23rd. The study debunks more than 20 different major accusations leveled by numerous countries against Israel, accusing Israel of violating Palestinians' religious freedom, damaging their health, and practicing racism. Yeah, Israel is the racist country. Yeah, the UN Human Rights Council, of course, their agenda item number seven, which they have to discuss every time they meet in every session, exclusively focused on Israel, the only country that has a line item specifically on it. Not Iran, not China, not any of these other countries. Israel, a line item on Israel at the UN Human Rights Council, which I think the U.S. is either rejoining or wants to rejoin, I think, here coming up. But according to this report by this very good organization, very important organization, UN Human Rights, UN Watch, rather, the report here sets the record straight regarding distorted statements, including... This is what other countries are saying. Israel hinders the Palestinian fight against COVID-19. Israel has occupied Palestinian territory for 70 years. Get that? 70 years? By the way, not 50 years. Not Judea and Samaria. They're accusing Israel of occupying Palestine or Palestinian land since the founding of the state. Because that's their ultimate goal. The Israel haters. They want the entire country. Anybody who tells you it's just about the so-called settlements doesn't know what they're talking about. Their goal is to take over the entire country, wipe out Israel, and rename it Palestine, a country which has never existed. There's never been an independent Palestine in the history of the world. Yet they want to wipe out Israel, and this is the proof. They're accusing Israel of occupying. If those of you who don't get this, and if you're living in the pre-1967 borders, pre 1967 Israel, there are no 67 borders. There are 49 armistice lines. But those who are living in whether it's Tel Aviv or Haifa or any of these other cities, when they talk about settlements, they're really talking about you. And the proof is in the pudding here. When these nations are talking about a 70-plus year occupation, let's make sure you understand they're talking about you. They're not talking about me and Gush Etzion. They're talking about 70 plus years. They're talking about those living in Haifa. The Jews living in Haifa as being occupiers. The Jews living in Tel Aviv as being occupiers. So I went off on a little tangent there. But the UN Watch report debunking all of these lies. Israel commits apartheid against the Palestinians. Israel damages Palestinian holy sites. Israel's blockade of Gaza is illegal. All these false claims debunked in this new report. This organization, again, Hillel Neuer and the rest, doing amazing work there for UN Watch in Geneva. At the same time, you have anarchists and extremists harassing Israeli farmers in the Jordan Valley, reported by the Tatzpit news agency. A group of about 20 activists of a fanatical group called Fighters for Peace. Yeah, really. They're really fighting for peace here. Arrived in the Chemdat area of the Jordan Valley on Saturday to harass local Israeli farmers. They did some damage. They cut a 500-meter-long barbed wire fence, hung a sign in its place, carried out other acts of vandalism. Security forces arrived on the scene after police were called. You're talking about an organization that has been inciting violence against Israelis, encouraging a third so-called intifada, accusing Israelis in Judea and Samaria of causing cancerous diseases in Arab villages. These are just horrible people harassing farmers in the Jordan Valley. And by the way, if you're not aware, things like this happen every weekend. Every Friday and Saturday, you have these radical Israel-hating anarchist organizations who are out in the field trying to approach Jewish communities, harass Jewish farmers. This is not a one-off occurrence. This happens every week. It's unacceptable. More needs to be done. And these people need to be arrested for trying to ruin the Shabbat of those residents of Judea, Samaria, the Jordan Valley, and whatnot, who are minding their own business, when these anarchists arrive and show up and cause a commotion. So more has to be done to prevent this stuff from happening. And we'll finish today's show here with some good news. Zach Banner, he's an offensive lineman for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm not a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, but Zach Banner is a really, really good guy. And we've seen him in action, not only on the football field, but off the field for good causes. Unfortunately, I believe he got injured this year, so he didn't have a full season. But Zach Banner will host a virtual discussion on February 17th about combating anti-Semitism and racial injustice, in addition to the need for unity. So he's trying to create unity amongst Jewish, and he's not Jewish, by the way, Jewish and non-Jewish communities, particularly African-American communities in the U.S. If I recall, Banner was extremely disturbed and troubled by the Tree of Life shooting there in Pittsburgh, and really took a closer look at Jew hatred, and decided he would try to do what he could to make a difference after that horrible massacre there in Pittsburgh. So he seems like just a really, again, he's not even Jewish, seems like a really, really top-notch guy, Zach Banner. In the summer of 2020, Banner posted a video on Twitter in which he called for an end to anti-Semitism and advocated for unity between minority groups, notably the African-American and Jewish communities. This reported, by the way, by JNS. In December of last year, he donated a portion of a game day check to the Tree of Life Synagogue. So Zach Banner, really, really good guy. If only more people were like Zach Banner, understanding Jew hatred and trying to fight, use their celebrity to fight against Jew hatred. That's what he is doing. And I'll give him a break for being a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll put that aside. Really, really good guy. And it's good to see him taking on this important cause there in the U.S. And that's going to do it for today. Monday, the 15th of February, 2021, the 3rd of Adar 5781. It is a beautiful sunny day here in Jerusalem. We are actually expecting a major winter storm in Israel, starting, I believe, on Tuesday, to last for several days. There is a possibility of snow on Wednesday evening, Wednesday night. I think in communities that are over 700 meters high, we're talking about Gush Etzion, we're talking about Tzfat, of course, the Hermon Mountains, perhaps in Jerusalem as well. But Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we are expecting, I guess, one last, it wasn't really a rainy winter, but this is supposed to be one last major winter storm before we head towards Purim and then Passover here in Israel. So looking forward to that. Everyone should be safe during the storm, which is approaching, and everyone around the world should be safe. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, whether it's the coronavirus or anything else. My name is Josh Haston. This is Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. Big shout out to Benjamin Bresky, engineer extraordinaire, Tabitha Epstein, for everything she does behind the scenes here at the Land of Israel Network. Get in touch with me during the week, josh@thelandofisrael.com. Let me know what you think of the show. Love it, hate it, anything else I should be talking about, I shouldn't be talking about. Feel free to email me and let me know what you think. Get in touch with me also on Facebook, Joshua Haston, or Josh Haston Israel Advocacy and Journalism, on Twitter at Josh Haston, and now a little bit on Instagram as well. Still haven't mastered the Instagram. I still need more help with that. Anyway, most importantly, as I said before, between now and when we speak again, please God, next Monday, everyone out there in the wonderful world of ours, be safe. Shalom, shalom from Jerusalem, the eternal capital of the State of Israel and the Jewish people. Shalom.
My name is Jeremy Gimpel. A few months ago, we started an online seminar teaching life-changing biblical wisdom revealed from the original Hebrew and straight from the mountains of Judea. What started as an online seminar has grown into a global fellowship with hundreds of members from over 30 countries. I don't know how you found this or what compelled you to click on that link, but I don't believe in coincidence. And I would encourage you to take the next step on your journey toward the land of Israel. Instead of learning the Bible as a religion, it's the Torah of Israel, the living guidance of God. So please join us. for our next online gathering. Just click on the link below or email fellowship@thelandofisrael.com.